Welcome to Cash Considerations, the podcast that takes you behind the Las Vegas sportsbook from the guys that actually work behind it, with your hosts, Alan Berg, Dave Sharapan, and Matoy Pearson.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back on the podcast. Coming up on this version of the show, episode 96, we have some NFL wildcard playoffs. We're going to go over the bowl season with Big Dave and a.k.a. your boy Mo, a.k.a. Heed These Takes. And see how that all came out. And maybe get to a little NBA, hopefully. Big Dave's all fired up for that segment, so we're going to try to get in a little NBA talk. But let's kick things off real quick. Let's recap kind of the bowl season. We came right down to the wire the last game. Mo had Texas. Big Dave had Georgia. If you watch the game, you know how that ended up. And thanks to Dave wanting to include the one FCS bowl game, Mo wins the contest by a half point.
Fantastic.
It's only fitting that it was called the Celebration Bowl. It is a celebration. And I want to be the first to congratulate myself, my people on the show, my guy Alan, my guy Dave. No, I'm kidding. No, it was a great run. I thought it was good for everyone that that wanted some action to listen to us, and I feel like we gave out some pretty decent picks there.
So, I thought so too. There was a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah. Oh, no question. Yeah, both guys did finish above 500, if I'm not mistaken. I believe Mo was up two games and Dave was up one. Is that correct, guys?
Yeah, that should be. That's about right.
I think it was either up three and up two or up two and up one. I don't remember. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, the picks were decent. You know, I mean, you guys weren't going to get crushed with any if you followed every play. So that was nice.
Yes.
What? First off, I do want to bring up something, but before I do that, what's your main takeaway, Big Dave? Is there a game that stuck out that you regretted the minute you got off the cast or anything like that?
No, we had Lindemann on, obviously, for those of you that didn't listen. It's still worth a listen just to go over what we did talk about. But he's a Kentucky guy, and I'm a Penn State guy. And that game, I liked Kentucky, and he liked Penn State. So I kind of watched that one bittersweet because Kentucky was the right side of that game the entire game. And that was one that I was like, boy, I really nailed that one. And I was watching it going, I was rooting for Penn State, but knowing that wasn't the right side. the one that I picked when we were doing it, we had Duke and Temple, and I 100% knew the Temple was the wrong side, but we picked it. You know, I let Mo pick that one first, and I said, all right, for the show's sake, I'm going to take Temple. And just to be opposite, so we weren't along the same lines the whole way. And, man, Temple got out to an early lead in that game and then stopped scoring, and Duke laid it on them and won, I believe it was, let me see, I got all the scores, 56-27. And I think Temple led 24-10, somewhere in that neighborhood. That was the one I was like, yep, I knew Duke was the right side, but for the show, I took one for the team. So that was the one game that I thought, oh, my. And then the total that everyone's talking about, that if you didn't, Bahamas Bowl total that went over the total was just one was unbelievable. There was a very good game for the book and going over that total. But, man, if you had under that game, you had to take a break. You had to just take a day or two off and say, I can't make a play.
Bahamas Bowl strikes again.
Yeah.
Yes, Bahamas it does. Bowl, yep.
And yeah. Crushing blow.
Yeah.
They showed it on Beach yesterday, man. It was, to get reintroduced to it was pretty bad, man.
Jeez. The Rose Bowl was a pretty bad beat if you had Ohio State minus anything other than 4.5.
Yeah, it was just karma and justice that got down on that. Something I thought about. That was just the way of the world. Yeah,
you got to over under your shot, Big Dave, on Urban Meyer before he coaches again. What's the total there? 1.5.
Right? I don't know. Like everyone's asking, everyone's talking about it. Honestly, where's he going to coach, AB? Like somebody was joking with me today, like, "Oh, would you want him to be the Steelers coach?" I guess, you know, but I mean, like, is if you're a good college coach and a great job, getting $5 million a year, are you going to go coach the Jets? I mean, unless you really want to go coach in the pros, like 8 guys got fired on Monday, right? I mean, every year 7 or 8 guys. And it's short-lived. The guy in Arizona, 1 year. Someone else, 2 years. At Dirk Cotter, I mean, he seems like a good guy and a good coach. Didn't work out in Tampa. When's he going to coach again? Like, I don't know if the upside is there in the NFL unless you really want to be a pro coach. I think the ticket is a great college job where you're challenging for a conference championship and a possible spot in a playoff. I don't know.
I think it's just the ego thing.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'm not in a hurry to go coach the Jets. I mean, yeah, the Browns look exciting. But, I mean, the Browns are still the Browns. Yeah, they're going to be improved. You got a quarterback finally. But if you don't win in 3 years, you're gone. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, I don't deny that.
It's a pretty demanding league.
So here's the question that people want to know, though. So we got one college football game left, and they want to know – I haven't brought in the prize yet because of this reason. So I want to know, are you willing to put up the half-point lead for the national title game?
Yeah, that's without question. It's got to be.
There it is.
Yeah, we need another chance, man. Another thing to people to cling on to before the unfortunate end of college football, man. It's going to be rough, man.
So here's the gig then. So what we're going to do, Big Dave, is since Mo has the lead, he will pick first. He'll get a choice between the total or the side. And you have the option of taking the other part of his pick or the opposite, whether he chooses the side or the total. You can switch to be the spread or the total, whichever you want.
Okay. Sound good? I like that. Yeah.
All right. So here we go. This is for all the marbles. So we can make it nice and fair. So we're going to go with the 5.5 Alabama.
Before you do this, where do you think this line is going to close? The line, you guys, what do you have right now? 5.5
5.5 I don't know, man. I feel like you can't. Now we're off of. I don't necessarily say 6 is like a key. I mean, it's a decent number. I'd rather be taking 6 than 5.5. But I don't think you're going to see too much more movement. I mean, if we dip down to 5. I would think you're going to start seeing Bama money. If we go back to 6, then Clemson money will appear. I think there's enough interest here from everybody that I don't see the line crashing unless Tua is all of a sudden out or something crazy like that. So
I'll retweet it after the show, but I put a poll on my Twitter that said, where do you think this line will close? 6 or higher, 5 or 5.5, or below, 4.5 or lower.
Right.
And so far, surprisingly, the number of votes leading is 6 or higher.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I mean, I don't know. I think there'll be enough. There's going to be enough. Like, my thing is, this is the perfect game for the book and ideal is that if Bama wins by 4, so we scoop all of the Alabama spread and then we scoop all the Clemson money line. You know,
yep.
That's to me where this looks like it's set up to fall. So we shall see, though. But all right, Mo. So you got the floor, my man. Which are you gonna take here? You want the spread, the total, which side, whatever.
Oh man, this is so brutal. Well, at some point during this whole deal, I'll probably change my mind after the show. My usual kind of how I did with about 12 of the bowl games I picked and gave out.
Then you'll say you were just kidding.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't want to go over him. That'll be a whole nother show, basically. But Clemson actually plays defense, and I don't think Bama's going to be up early on Clemson at any time soon. I think it's going to be close. For me, if, there's a 6 or, whatever's at the top of the market, I think Clemson's good. I think it's going to be a way closer game. I think Bama wins, but I think Clemson covers 6.
So we're using the 5.5 line, my man. So are you taking 5.5?
That's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Mo's got +5.5 with Clemson. Big Dave, would you like Bama or are you going to go total?
Damn it.
Now keep in mind.
I was hoping he was going to ride the Tua train. I was hoping he was going to ride the Tua train and pick Alabama.
So just keep in mind, if you go total and you guys both win or both lose, then Bo still retains the title. So,
right. So the best case scenario for the show is I just have to go opposite his pick, right?
Well, I mean, I think you could, you know, you take a shot that way, I guess, if you feel like that's the right way to go.
It's really a win-win for me if Tua wins the coverage. So, I mean, really, I don't even – you know, the crown will be fine, but if Bama wins by 40, I'd be happy about that too.
All right, I'm going to play the under. I'll go on record as saying I also like Clemson plus the points. It just feels like it's too many. The line should be probably 4.5, and it may get down to 5. I think there'll be a lot of support there for Alabama, and like AB said, it feels like the Super Bowl as far as betting, money line favorite, spread favorite, money line dog, somewhere in the middle. But I'll go under. What do we got? 60, 59.5 for the purpose of the show.
Yep.
59.5. All right, we'll play it under.
Yep.
It'll be a well fought defensive effort by both squads. I'll play it under.
All right.
24-21, that's a winner for both of us.
Ooh, and you retain the title.
Of course, yeah, that's all. Yeah, that's
but
all
you
I
guys
know.
Would have also given out two winners, and that'd be okay.
That's all right, too.
Yeah, that's good for the show. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
I'm okay with that. Yeah,
well,
I'm fine with
this. We'll be getting a feature at some point with the gentleman's prize once that comes out. So be looking for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, no UCF cash T-shirts for me and Lindy.
Oh, I That's know. Dead. Pain.
That's dead. LSU Bummer. All the way.
Well, you know, they didn't really care because they weren't in the semifinals.
Oh. All right.
And I'd like to also point out that they were undefeated in 2017 and 18. So that's 2 years undefeated and not, no respect. So I get
that's,
it.
All right. Okay. No. Oh, man. You have that in your notes.
Now you know.
No
yep. Now
no
you
notes.
Know.
No notes in front of me at all. All I see here is Mo plus 5.5, Big Dave under 59.5. All right, fellas. Well, let's move along here. People want to hear about the NFL, of course. So let's just jump right in. We got Saturday wild card games, starting with the 1:35 game, Indianapolis at Houston. Here at Caesars Palace, we have the Texans -2, total 48.5. Big Dave's shop's got same spread, but 48 on the total. 1.5s are starting to show up, and there's a few 49s in town. Seems like the numbers are kind of all over the place for a game that's starting on Saturday, so it's kind of interesting. I'll let one of you guys go ahead and jump in on this one first, and we'll see. We'll just go around the horn.
All right, I'll go first here. So far, obviously, it seems like there's a lot of public support for the Colts, and I honestly – wouldn't be surprised to see the game get to pick them. Would it surprise me to be the Colts favorite on the road? If the avalanche of money continues going in that direction, no. I'm not sold on Houston, boys. Indy's beat them in Houston. Indy beat them at home, too. This year they swept the division, right? They swept both games?
No, they gave away the tie, remember?
Oh, that's right. Game. That was the tie. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, they won in Houston, so it's not correct. Like it can't be done. Mm-hmm. I like the way Luck's playing. Obviously, everyone does. Not overstating the obvious. Forced to pick a side here. I like the under as far as the total. The side – I'm flipping a coin. I would take the Colts before I would take Houston, but I don't want to have to pick a side in this game. I really think the line is good. I would make the line Houston -1 just because they're at home. So line's good. I like under.
Okay. Mo, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it opened 2.5 Houston. Yeah, when I initially seen it right after Indy beat the Titans, I just wanted to, you know if it was going to be around 2 or 2.5, which, you know, I thought 3 would have been too much. And I kind of agree with Dave. I think it might actually go down in close pick. I think the Colts are a better team. And I think the Colts are, you know, they came a long way from 1-5 to now, you know, kind of fought through a lot of stuff. And offensively, they've been better than most, man. So, I don't know. I mean, Allen hasn't really been a big believer in Houston. I haven't really cared about Houston. Not like I haven't been watching them win, though. So, for me, I like the Colts. If I had to pick a side, just seems like they're pretty locked in. They might be one of the hotter teams to get into the playoffs here, too. So, you know, they already got a win against them at home, kind of stopped Houston from their winning streak. And I think they'll continue and win here. I think the Colts are good here.
AB, will the Colts be able to run the ball?
I'm not sure they need to. I think with what Luck showed the first time they played at Houston, I mean, he was basically shredding the defense. So he threw for like 340 yards or something like that. And they had a decent lead going into the fourth quarter. The Texans got a late touchdown to cut it to 3. Pretty much took it to the Texans in that game. You know, Houston, man, they've been a fortunate team for the most part with the wins that they've had. You know, you might remember the Colts, as we talked about, they gave away a tie. So they could easily be 10-5-1. They beat the Cowboys due to a Jason Garrett coaching error. They barely beat Buffalo and Houston. They won on the road at Jacksonville, which turned out not to be that big of a deal. They beat the Dolphins in Houston. They won a road game at Denver by 2. They won a road game at Washington by 2.
All against, like, really bad quarterbacks,
yeah,
too. They didn't even play the starters, right?
Correct,
in a lot
yeah.
of those games, yeah.
Yeah, I believe, what, even the Titans, I think, they might have – oh, no, they didn't play against Mariota in that game.
Was that Gabbert there?
No, it was Mariota. Yeah, I checked on that one. Yeah, I mean, you know, they've won games they're supposed to win in the sense of their schedule. But, I mean, you just go through the names and you're like Bills, Jaguars, Dolphins, Broncos, Redskins, Titans, Browns, Colts, Jets, Eagles, Jags. I mean, you know, there's no Chiefs, there's no Rams, there's no Bears, there's no Chargers, there's no Ravens. Like, that's the thing about this team. I feel like I don't even know if this line really was meant to be where it is. But with that being said, there's so much public interest on the Colts, it scares me. Like, and I wouldn't
For sure.
be surprised if either team won this game. I actually kind of like the game over, to be honest. I just feel like the Texans will play a little bit better offensively, I think, in this game than they did the last time they played. And the game, you know, they scored 45 points in that game, and the Texans really didn't play that great on offense especially. So, I don't know. I just get the feeling like, I was telling Mo, I think I could see this game being like 6-3 at halftime, and it somehow ends up like 28
going over.
Yeah. It just has that feel to me that maybe second half is where we're going to be looking at a total play there, if it plays into what I'm saying here. But yeah, I'm not crazy. This is probably my least favorite game. I have one other game I really hate, but I told Mo these wild card games are tough. All these teams have the ability to beat the other team. So
no question.
Yeah, this is one of the uglier ones. If you twisted my arm, I'd ride with the Colts. But yeah, not nothing I'm crazy about in this game by any means.
It just feels like it's round 3, division game, slobber knocker, you know, ugly game. That one fumbled pick turnover is probably going to decide it. And it's just not going to be appealing wise, viewer wise. It definitely doesn't feel like the one game that you want to watch.
Mm. All right. Well, moving along, we'll go to the 5 p.m. game here, Pacific. The night game, as they say, Seattle at Dallas. Dallas -2, total 43 here at Caesars. Dave Shop has the same at CG. A couple 1.5s out there. There's some 42.5s starting to appear, it looks like. I'll go ahead and kick this one off. I've been a big advocate for the Dallas team and a big hater of Jason Garrett and their system. Seattle really surprised me. I didn't think they were going to be this good. And because of that, I think it's a coaching mismatch. Carroll once again showing how he can just coach up a defense when I think they lost a ton of talent. Super impressed with the late run of the Seahawks. That being said, I think the Cowboys have a better team. Whether or not that'll work out due to the coaching, it's a tough one. But for me, I think if I got down to one, I'd probably lay Dallas.
It feels like, and I'll say this before, I like Seattle, but it sure feels like the square side if we're going to discuss this game. This one feels like Seattle actually has more so far public support, just quantity of bets than the Colts does. And that scares me. Mm. But I think their offense is better than Dallas's. Their defenses are – I would maybe give the edge to Dallas, I think. But, you know, no slouch either one. And you're right, the coaching mismatch, even in the first game between Reich and Bill O'Brien, give me Frank Reich every time. Every time.
Right.
So, yeah, I see what you're saying with the coaching. This is a real toss-up to me. Like I don't feel either. I don't feel like I have an edge either way. But if I had to pick it, I would take Seattle. But it doesn't feel great.
I don't know which team I want to see lose more personally.
yes.
Like from a personal standpoint, but it's going to be a good one. Obviously, it's the 5:00 game, night game.
Is there a revenge tour angle here, Mo?
Can't really see one as much. You know, obviously Tony Romo dropped that
in Seattle, yes.
PAT. So I think that highlight might be brought up a few times that night.
For sure.
We'll get a good laugh out of it or 40. you know, I hate Dallas, man, and I hate Seattle, but for me, I think you know, with Zeke getting that rest, it was, you know, it's big for them. And I think Seattle's kind of been weary to the run, and Zeke should have a pretty good game. But I think there might be a little bit more scoring in this one than most people might think. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the over. You know, 42.5 right now, I think, is out 43. Looks like across the board here at Caesars. But I think it might take a little bit for both teams to kind of get going. I think they're both going to try to run the ball with Carson and Zeke. And, you know, obviously they have Russ and Dak to you know, use their mind, which they're pretty good at. And I don't see too many turnovers. I see a lot of, you know, good plays in the red zone that can keep the ball going. But if I had to pick a side, I think I'd pick Seattle personally. It seems like they've been able to play in a lot more places than just home. They've gotten probably their better wins at home, but you know, even where Dallas dominates on defense, I think Seattle might be able to give them some problems and be up late in the game. So I think over is probably better, but I think Seattle might actually win outright. So
can you guys tell me why did Dak play the whole game last week?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
I can't figure it out.
Jason Garrett?
Zeke didn't let him dress. They had everybody playing except Zeke. It was like, yeah, go back out there. It's freezing. We're in the Giants. The game doesn't matter. We can't improve. Keep getting those reps. You need to get reps. I mean, if he gets hurt there, I don't know. Like, yeah, maybe this guy some more reps. But, man, you're hosting a playoff game. What are you doing?
It's terrible.
Well, I will. I'm gonna give you guys one stat here out the door, and it's the main reason I'm leaning Dallas. 17 touchdowns at home, 3 interceptions, rating of 109.5. On the road, wow. He's 85.6. And in November and December, he's got 14 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. So both Ooh. Months' ratings over 100. Big change was obviously the addition of Amari Cooper. I just think Dallas is just a better team at home. They lost to the Seahawks already on the road this year. And did not have Cooper for that game, and I don't think they were playing. That was week 3. I don't think they were playing as good as they are now. So I don't know. I just feel like Dallas somehow gets out of this one. probably gets hammered in the next round when they have to go on the road.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Brutal.
All right, next up, we move to Sunday, the 10 a.m. game here. L.A. Chargers at Baltimore. Baltimore minus 2.5, minus 20 here at Caesars. Big Dave's shop has the same 41.5 total at both. This is another one that, man, I just feel like nothing would surprise me here. Chargers smoke, Ravens smoke, close game, both sides. Total goes over, total flies under. Man, like, this is just a good matchup of two teams that are playing good. The only reason I think I would lean Chargers is just because Phil Rivers' playoff experience versus Lamar Jackson playoff experience. So, yeah, I'd back the Chargers if you twist my arm.
I will back what I think is the better defense with the Baltimore Ravens. But Jackson first playoff start scares the hell out of me. Totally agree. Baltimore won in L.A. a couple weeks ago. Totally scares me. You're right. Nothing will surprise me here. This seems like the best matchup, although the game after this is just as compelling. I just think I'm looking forward to Sunday's games. As far as a fan or just a football person watching the games, I just think either game is just going to be not more competitive, just there's more compelling storylines. I'm interested to see how this goes. The Chargers kind of got screwed, though, don't you think, with this early start Sunday morning? West Coast team playing an early game?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But, you know, they might benefit from it not being as cold as well, though. I mean, it's better in the middle of the day than it is at nighttime. Yeah. Baltimore.
Yeah. Well, who's on your list here?
I'm a big fan of Phillip Rivers, man. You know, just the way that he's, you know, he's been getting after it. And, you know, the Chargers have been on a lot of people's – or not a lot of people, but people that I know that are good, their radar, you know, about how they were going to come into the season. And, you know, I didn't know if anybody else knew how good they were. But you know, 12-4, somehow the 5 seed, unfortunately, but, man, it's tough. I think it's going to be a little bit more cause they just seen each other. I think maybe a couple weeks ago, right? Saturday, Ravens came away with a big win. And you know, the Ravens, I think won the last 5 out of 6, they only lost a close one to the Chiefs in overtime. Big O to the Ravens coaching staff. They kind of changed their whole offense to get where they're at right now. And I don't think it's any secret. I think Lamar is going to be able to get after it. I think the Lions were at – I feel like 3 should be fine with the Chargers, but I don't want to get caught off guard because, you know, a lot of people might think, you know, it's not it's hard to beat a team twice, but I think the Ravens are for real. I think coaching-wise they can – they'll be able to get it done and give Phillip Rivers a hard time. So not really much on the side, I think. I think under might be good, you know, a lot more of what we've seen in that first game. I think there was just a defensive touchdown late. Antonio Gates had that fumble. Ravens recovered. Kind of made the score look a little bit out of range. But I think it'll be close. I think under might be good here in a game like this. Can't really pick a side. If I had to, I'd pick Chargers just because of Rivers. But under might be good in this one for me.
Surprising, boys, that this line is what it is based on the fact that the line a couple weeks ago in L.A. was 4.5 the other way.
Go ahead, Mo.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think probably at that time, I don't know if it was on a short week or anything. Obviously, it was a Saturday. That game was on a Saturday. But I thought it was about right as far as the spot and how the Chargers were playing at the time, but you know, anything shorter than that, I don't know if I would have agreed with. I think 4 was probably fine. It's odd seeing this now, this flip. But
I just thought this line was going to come 1.5, somewhere in that neighborhood, based on it being 4, 4.5, and taking nothing pretty much but Chargers bets a couple weeks ago, it's flipped.
I'm assuming it's only a little bit higher because they won the game on the road.
I guess so.
You know what I mean? Like, the Chargers win that game. You know, I think it's definitely close to the pick. If not, the Chargers are a small favorite. But
if the Ravens blow the game, and they play the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Same line?
Well, what I was going to mention here, I think the Chargers are the hardest team to factor in this home away stuff because they don't have a home field. Like, their home field's a joke. So, I think you kind of almost, they're this weird anomaly where you kind of have to make a line just based on what they're doing this week. You know?
Right.
I can't imagine there's a ton of points built. Aren't they like 7-1 on the road or something like that too this year?
They're very good on the road.
I'm not sure exactly. Yeah, I'm gonna double check that stat, but yeah, they're 7-1 away, 5-3 at home. So, go figure.
Insane.
Yeah.
Right, did you guys enjoy the Steelers watching the game on the field as much as I did last week?
That was a pretty good little video. Yeah.
No, it was great, man.
What a mess that team is. Oh my god. We can discuss that at the end. Yeah, AB's doing a good job there. Not you, AB. I mean, that Antonio Brown.
Oh, I love that guy. He's on my back-to-back Peyton Bowl championship teams, man. That guy's forever one of my favorite people on earth.
Will he be a Steeler next year?
Oof, too hard to figure. They have to trade him after June 1st if that's the case. I think that there's some kind of thing where that's they have to pick up a bunch of money to trade him or something. Like the way the contract's leveraged or something.
Whatever advice he's getting, he's getting. He's trying to get his way out of there, obviously. There's something wrong. Something – what's that saying? Something stinks in Denmark? I don't know. I forget how it goes. Yeah.
I think that's something
it's
like
bad.
That.
Oh, man. Something's going on in that place.
Yeah. I mean, is this all – like, is this the domino effect of Bell and now Brown and –
Oh, yeah. This is the beginning of the end. This is it. This is starting to unravel. This is all starting to unravel. Ben's got a year left, maybe. And, you know, who knows what's next?
Steelers would absorb a $21.12 million dead money cap if they trade Antonio Brown prior to June 1st.
Wow.
So if he gets traded, they'd have to wait until that. A post-June trade would save over $15 million. So if they don't make amends by then, I would think on, you know, June 1st, he's dealt. Like it'll happen immediately because teams will want like him to be in camp and all these other things. So
hopefully wherever he goes next, he comes in a helicopter like he did this year. That started off the year nice.
Oh, man. I'll forever love that guy. I don't care. I want to read you guys like one thing I wrote back in August that's kind of funny. I on gamingtoday.com I wrote this article about Super Bowl long shots since the Eagles cashed last year. I wrote an article that was based on let's take the teams that are 50-1 or higher and I'll give you my opinion of if I think any of them can make a run. And here's what I said about the Ravens. I said the Ravens, a team I feel like has the potential to start 0-4 and bury every under season wins better as Lamar Jackson rolls off 11 of his next 12 games. They are dangerous if they can get great play at quarterback. Pretty wild.
Wow.
Simple.
Pretty wild.
Simple. Excellent work, AB. I like it.
They were still winning games with the old Joe Flacco, but as soon as they put that kid in, it like changed everything. But I just wonder if it's the whole wild card playoffs is a whole another level mentally for this kid. Like that just it's a tough first matchup for him, I feel like, you know.
If he gets knocked out, is it RG3 or Flacco?
Gotta be Flacco. It's gotta be Flacco, right?
Do you think they go
RG3? Because of
Flacco
that
looks pretty comfortable on the bench. Yeah, I think so.
He's still cashing those checks.
Well,
I'd be comfortable too.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah. RG3's your guy. Send him in.
He's good. I ain't running those plays you're calling now.
Yeah, absolutely. It said that he was the backup for week 16 when they played the Chargers. So I would assume Flacco would go in. But it's an interesting point, though, because if their game plan is this, you know, run the ball type of a thing, then maybe RG3 fits better into that system. I don't know. Or are they able to just flip the switch and go to Flacco and go back to the old play calls. And that's an interesting point. I think that could be a disaster if that happens. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Especially when Flacco already knows he's leaving. I mean, curious to see where he ends up, because he'll be the retread quarterback that somebody tries to bring in. Jacksonville, the Giants, someone like
gotta
that.
Gotta be
sure.
Jacksonville. Gotta
that's,
be Jacksonville.
That's what, it really seems like that would make the most sense. But it's all going to depend on what Coughlin thinks of him, I'm sure.
Right.
Yeah. All right, let's move to the last game. We got the Eagles and the Bears. Bears minus 5.5, total 41. Big Dave and CG have the same number. I'll just get my take out of the way. I'm scared to death of Nick Foles. But I think we have the better team. So I'm hoping that's the ultimate trump card here. As far as betting the game, just don't even ask me.
Mo, help him out. What do you got?
Well, my rule since they played the Packers was don't bet against Bears, which has been a pretty solid rule for myself down the stretch. So, you know, I'm assuming I'm going to follow this. Looks like the most as far as the tickets that are being written are on the Bears, and that's fine. You know, obviously I think they're the better team as well here, but. It's rough on me. I think there might be more scoring involved than the 41 looks like. And every time I think I bet a Bears under, it just doesn't go well. You know, there's some issues going on with Eddie Jackson. I mean, I know they want him back. He'll be a big part.
Questionable.
To stop Foles.
Yeah, questionable.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So I mean, they need someone like that, obviously, to be back in the fold to stop Foles. Anyway, but I'm not in the business of betting against Bears, so I'm going to just leave the side alone, even though Eagles are still available. But I think over might be good. I think over might be actually decent in this game. Bears are going to be able to get out, and I think it might be some – not a shootout, but they'll, you know, generate enough points to make it pretty interesting for both sides. So that, I'm going to go with over here. That's three totals in a row. Sick.
Wow. Solid work there.
I'm keeping my own records. My own thing going on.
It's all on tape, man. We can go back and listen. So you don't have to keep the records, but if you want to, you can. We need to know.
Yeah, yeah. Just need to be mindful.
I know your boy Kyle has been pumping his Bears up, you know, from the beginning of the season. He was all over the Eagles last year. And I love what the Bears are doing. I mean, last week, going to Minnesota, we're in the room, and everybody's like, wow, you know, Minnesota, Minnesota. I'm like, if you're the Bears, don't you want to go there and end their season? Don't you want to go and just – why would you lay down to then play them again at home? Like, there's no – I saw no angle there that they were going to do that. We're going to win the game. Yeah, we'll take on the Eagles. We don't care. We're not stopping the momentum that we've built up and, you know, laying down. It made perfect sense with a young coach. Loved the Bears, played it myself. That was great. This number is a tough number. It's tough. It just, like AB said, don't ask me to pick the side. We know why, but it's hard. And Mo wants to pick the total. I get it. I get it. I do. I'll take the points. Because I think it's going to be close. Do I think the Bears are going to win the game? Yes. Would it surprise me to see the Eagles win? No, only because they're the defending champs. Something that Nick Foles is doing is working. I mean, when you watch him, you just don't know. But the guy won the Super Bowl last year. So I'll take this 5.5. It feels like the money line may even be live. But I'm rooting for the Bears. I want to see the Bears play next week in L.A. That's all I want to see.
All right. So I'm going to make you guys give out a money three here as well. Oh, games.
Pain.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Pain. Oh, it hurts. It hurts.
Are you kidding?
I'll kick it off. No, I'm not kidding. You got to bring it, man.
Unbelievable.
Yep, we're still in it. Hashtag money three. Here we go. I'm going to go Cowboys money line minus 125 in town. You can find that one a little cheaper offshore. Chargers money line plus 130. And I'm going to go Bears 41.5. Go against Mo there. Sorry, Mo.
No, strong. It's okay.
So my totals always lose, though, so that's probably it's probably 41.
Over is a double fister there. Yeah, over. Mo, you got to give three plays. Oh, what do I got? Oh, my God. All right. I'm going to go under in Indy Houston. I'm going to go – I can't even believe it. Baltimore. I can't stand the Ravens, but I'm just going to play that one. Baltimore minus 2.5. And the last game, I don't want to pick the Seattle-Dallas game. I really don't. I don't know what to pick there. So we're going to go with the Eagles plus the points in game 107. Those are my three. Not excited,
okay. I'm still on Seattle Dallas over 43. It's probably the one I like the most for sure. Under in Chargers Baltimore 41.5. And
there's 40. There's four. There's tons of 42s out there, so we'll give you 42.
Okay. All right. Yep. And then I still like under or over in Philly and Chicago. I sure. Like, so I'm going to just go with those three. I'm
gonna Can I grab six with the Eagles?
I There's gave a you lot six. Of I gave you six, and I gave, boy, you, right. and I gave you under 49 in the Colts.
Ooh, we went. All so right, shopping, baby. I like it.
There you go.
All
right. Man. Cool. Well, there's some NFL money three for you guys. We did talk. We're going to get a little NBA in here. So, Big Dave, you want to lead things off?
Well, I just wanted to mention it because the Thursday night matchups, I don't know about you guys. I'm working every Thursday night, and I've become the basketball guy by default at the joint. So I'm watching these lines, and I'm doing the games. I'm doing the halves. It's been a lot of fun. And the matchups Thursday are awesome. So if you're listening to the show Thursday, Toronto's playing at San Antonio. We the North and Kawhi returning to San Antonio. I love the storyline. The line is short. Makes a lot of sense. I actually kind of like San Antonio in the game. But they've recently gone on a little streak. They're playing really well, and everybody wants to see Kawhi go in there. That dude is—he's just cold, man. I love the way he's playing, and I really like the way Toronto. I think they're going to win the East, AB. I don't want to jinx it, but man, they look like the team to beat in the East, and this is going to be a fun matchup. Denver Sacramento is just going to be a fun watch. The total's 227. It might as well be 250. There ain't nobody playing no defense in that one. You can bet over that one pretty safely. Denver's good. Denver's going to be good in the West. They're going to be a tough out. There's no shoe in there in that one, but that'll be a fun game to watch. But no one will be watching because they will be watching Houston at Golden State in the nightcap. Somehow Golden State's an 8.5-point favorite. Seems a little rich to me. Harden's unstoppable. Golden State's not the unstoppable Golden State. Haven't been up and down. I don't think they know yet at the end of the game that they have to give one or, you know, the one guy the ball. It just keeps going around. And Draymond doesn't seem 100% either. I kind of like Houston in the game. I don't know, man. The NBA, I don't know about you guys, AB. It's been pretty fun to watch. Has it not? At least the West has for sure.
I'm going to get a lot of people that listen to the show hate me right now, but I think it's the best it's ever been. I can't get enough of it.
It's true. I mean, I've never been a big NBA guy like since the day, but you're absolutely right. I agree with you 100%.
These guys are amazing. The plays they're making and the dunks and the threes. And I mean, just the back and forth. I mean, every night there's like some amazing highlight going on. Did you guys see the Giannis dunk the other night?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Oh, my God. He had the ball.
He takes steroids.
He had the ball.
I'm bringing it right now that Giannis takes steroids.
It's working. It's whatever he's taking, man. It's working.
Man, the Greeks are messing with the steroids? This is crazy.
Yeah, they're putting it in the Euros.
That's their money, bro.
That's what I'm going to start doing. I think that's going to be my move.
I don't even know what he's talking about right now.
I don't know either. I just know the NBA has been very competitive, and it's been a fun watch. Forget about the spreads. I mean, the spreads have been hard to figure in a lot of games. There's a lot of games where the team just mails it in, though. I mean, like, I never seen games where teams just we're okay losing by 38. You know, it's late in the third quarter, we're down 18. Just bench everybody. And we're okay losing by 35. You know, that's happening a lot, especially with the bottom feeders and especially in the Eastern Conference. But, you know, even the Suns are battle till the end, and these games are scoring 250, 260 points. Yeah. Like, some of these totals, right, you see them, and you're just like, that's too low.
The game like, takes on a world of its own, so to say, like, you just see these teams like they get into these runs where they're just battling so well offensively. You could just see them go, all right, well, defense ain't working tonight. Let's just go. Let's just run. And like, you know, you bring up the Suns. I mean, they were down like 20 plus points 50? At half.
It felt like they were down 50 at one point.
I know, right? Yeah. And then they come out in the second half and easily cover the second half spread. Like they almost won the second half by 20. So
they almost covered the game.
Yeah. Yeah, incredible.
Yeah.
But
I mean, is it not an in-game wagering dream, the NBA?
You literally took the words out of my mouth. I was just about to say, for all this talk about live betting, blah, 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 it's the future and all these things, and we all know, we all have our takes on that, of course. But this is the one sport that I feel like it's totally worth it to bet live because say if you make, like, we'll just have an example. Like, say you make the Heat at Cleveland -3.5. And you're like, well, I don't really want to take Cleveland +5.5. Let's see where the game goes. And, you know, you can sit there and Miami's down 1-1. So you might be able to lay 4, 3.5. And then all of a sudden you hop on that and boom, they win by 20, 25 or whatever. And to me, that's where the value in this live betting stuff is. It's in the NBA. I mean, I'm sure it's in college basketball too, but I don't talk about that garbage. So that's neither here nor there.
It doesn't happen as much in college basketball. There's runs in the game. That's just the way that basketball goes. But the NBA right now, it feels like both teams at some point have the lead by more than 4 points at some point in the game. Like literally you could take +220 on both sides in an NBA game, 8 out of 10 games. You know, and just literally +++++. And then you can start to play middles where you have now +$3 on a money line and you're laying 3 or you're taking 3 with the other side. And now all kinds of things can happen. You just have to be careful where you do it because if you do it too much, they won't let you bet there anymore. That's right. Part of the problem.
Well, and I think versus the whole, you know, trying to play both sides of the game, my thing is that I just think there's a lot of value in waiting for your number because the cool thing is the number may never come. Like if they get out, like for example, let's say like you love the Sixers, but you're like, I don't really want to lay 3.5. Let me see if the Suns can get the lead. Suns never Ever. Get the lead. right. Yeah. Suns never get the lead. So it's a no play. But the great thing was, like you just mentioned, the Suns almost came back and covered the spread. So you instead of being in this colossal, huge lead, and you know you're not going to bet second half because you don't want to, like, you know, quote unquote, make another bet, you're going to sit there with that great ticket that you think is coming in easy, and then you had to sweat it. And, yeah, you won, but that's not going to happen every night, especially when you're laying these fives on the road. Or you're laying 7.5 at home and they're up 25 and then they score 13 in the fourth quarter. Like these happen all the time. They don't happen every night. Mm-hmm. They're not going to beat you every time. But the point being that in the live betting aspect of the NBA, you can kind of wait for your number. Like if you just feel like there's a key number for you in a game and you want to just, you know, chop 2-3 points off of it, but not have to pay for all the points you'd have to buy. I feel like that's where you can make some decent strides as far as making money on it. But again, I mean, you know, there's just going to be times you're going to be probably sour that you didn't take the -6 when you could have and the game came in easy. But, you know, the patience is something that should never be taken lightly in this game.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe the variance in the lines as well. Mm-hmm. They jump. I don't know. There's something wrong with a lot of the algorithms. You know, 4 points, 6 point run isn't worth, you know, $4 in the money line or 6 points in the line. If I was controlling the line, I wouldn't fluctuate it as much. You know what I mean? Like, you see these huge fluctuations, and you know, in the Sixers game tonight, if you laid four before the game, at some point you could have taken 20 with the Suns and had a nice little middle to play with. I call it the skill shot when you try to, you know, lay the short number, take the big number, and hit them both in the middle. I mean, it's just more for entertainment purposes than anything. But if you're really working and trying to make money, you leave yourself all kinds of options.
Sure. Well, as an example of what's just insane about everything is that at one point in the Mavericks and Hornets game, and if you saw the game, the Mavericks blew out the Hornets. They beat them by 38 points. There was a point in this live betting that you could have got the Hornets at plus 45.5. And basically they covered easy. They covered that number easy. And it might not have felt easy at the time, but the point being is going to say that they're going to win by – do the Mavericks really care they're going to win by 46 points? No, right. It's just going to come down to when the bench guys come in for Charlotte, are they going to put enough of an effort in to stay in with the guys they're playing against? And if they do, they're going to cover a spread like that.
Right.
So, you know, it's definitely got options. I like it. I need to be able to spend more time on looking at all this stuff. But we've just been so busy. I'm swamped. I was like setting myself up to do a lot of the NBA stuff, and I just can't. I can't get off of certain projects. Like, it just isn't happening. So it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Props flying in high.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys finding a big interest in the props? Just that you're working on. I mean, I feel like we're putting a lot of work into it as well, and I don't see the gravitation towards them that is being either trumped or sold in other markets, or I don't know.
It's a lot of perception for now. Mm-hmm. I think you know more than anything. But yeah, I mean, you know, we all know the aspect of what happens when you put some of these things up, and Super Bowl props being the almighty of props. I mean, there's just certain props that, you know, you're not going to get bets from the guy who's betting $20 and $100. And there's guys out there that can't wait to bet $1,000 on something you put up. So,
right.
Something you have to be really careful. I mean, you know, it's not to say they're going to win when they bet their $1,000, but usually there's a reason that they bet that kind of money on it. So it's a game that's evolving. I don't think it's ever going to be considered to be a major money maker for anybody, but yeah, who knows? We'll see.
There's a lot of people in a lot of places selling these props as being the future and the wave. I think the in-game betting has more of a future in certain sports, you know, than the props myself. I'm not a sold. Yeah. And like you said, you get one-sided action, and it's not a $20 better.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, it's a challenge, but I mean, it's cool. I mean, I enjoy like working on it and stuff, but yeah, I think ultimately the market will decide what sells, what doesn't, and there'll be plenty of guys over the years that are going to see the results off these things, and then they'll make a little bit more of an educated decision on stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't blame them for, you know, offering what they're offering, and everybody trying to get their piece of, you know, oh, look what we have, look what we have, look what our menu is. So, you know, with you know, a lot of the fantasy guys jumping into the game, I understand the whole aspect of having options. So,
okay. And if your boys are listening to the show, I did see the article. The picture was great, and I'm not bad-mouthing the prop guy. Over there, Maddie, he looked good in the picture, you know. All right, so if he listens to the show, yeah, don't take it personal, you little schmuck.
Nice. All right, fellas, well, I think we've pretty much covered the bases. Mo, you got anything left to add to this cast?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, you checked out just a couple minutes ago, I figured. Yeah,
right. No, I'm still here.
Okay.
I'm I'm obviously under the weather at the moment, but
is that what you're going with? Under the weather?
He really is, though. I've never seen him walk in like he did today.
Really?
Yeah. He immediately told me he was sick after he gave me a handshake too, which was cool.
Oh, you got to do the fist bump. Come on.
No, it had to be done.
Yeah. It's all good.
He seemed so happy when I walked in. I didn't want to deny him the handshake. You got to understand where I'm coming from here.
Oh, man. It's all love, Mo. It's all love, man.
No doubt.
Yeah. All right, Big Dave.
Shout out to Shep. I just want to shout out to Shep. Yeah.
Okay.
I got a peek into the dungeon. At some point, I'm going to, get the double secret password and get over there. If I'm allowed just to see the setup, because – we're trying to get our stuff set up, and I want to learn from the boys. So
sure.
Healthy, happy new year to everyone that listens to the show. Please keep following on Twitter. I don't know. I've gotten a lot of response, gained a lot of followers. I hope we're gaining some followers for the show as well. And AB, can they still rate the show?
Yeah, absolutely. iTunes is fixed now. The easiest way to find it, if you want to get the right iTunes feed, is just to go to gamingtoday.com.
Which has cash all of the links, by the way.
Right, yeah, it's got that. Everything. Any of the various formats that you can want, listen to the show on. We've got the usuals, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Stitcher. So plenty of choices. Pick the one you like. And you can definitely leave us reviews and ratings on Apple Podcasts, which we would appreciate. So thanks for listening, everybody. And I guess we'll sign it off for Big Dave and Mo. Thanks for listening.
Money 3!
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.